Welcome again to Meditation Moments, and again, the old-time greeting, the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. In the Psalm, the 46th, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. With the 10th verse, we come to that again. I think we talked on that about a year ago, but oh, it's so necessary. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. But be still and know that I am God. Oh, that's a wonderful passage. And you know, I had an experience this week that surely brought that to mind. I was in a real difficulty to find someone whose address I did not have, and yet there was an emergency. It was a great emergency, and well, just every part of my being seemed to throb with anxiety because that party had to be reached and reached at once. It was something that just was necessary and needed immediate and vigorous action. And I felt for a little bit like I would just fly to pieces if I didn't get a hold of this party, get some word to them. And I was in sort of an inward turmoil when suddenly this very verse came to me. Just be still, get quiet, know that I am God. And so I sat down and very quietly I looked to the Lord. I just composed myself and ask God's Spirit to deal with my own heart and to help me to have faith and to believe Him to do something, that I could get in touch with that one before something was going to happen that would have been disastrous. And so as I sat there very still, and that verse had come to me, be still and know that I am God, I was really composed to a sweet quietness. And then as I sat there very quietly looking to the Lord, there came His voice to my heart, that just to write a note and take it to where they lived before the party had moved, and that's why I couldn't get in touch with them, but take it to the apartment where they once lived, and maybe there'd be some reason they would come back there, or the people that owned the place would find the note. And it seemed like it was God that had spoken to my heart, so I wrote the note. And then immediately I got in the car with a friend of mine. We went over to the apartment. And just as we pulled up there, a note in my hand, here came this very party that I had wanted to reach, that no one could give me her address. Here she drove up in the car. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord works out things? And there was just the Lord that dealt with that emergency, and it brought to success the whole issue. Oh, I learned then that my strength, as God's word says, my strength is to sit still. In Isaiah 30 and the 7th verse, God's word says their strength is to sit still. You know, in these crisis days, there's such a multiplicity of cares and burdens and so many things to be kept up with and a mad rush and with all excitement, it seems like we have a greater need than ever before for this kind of divine stillness, that God can just bathe our souls with quietness. And you know, it's only when your mind is quiet and serene and there's a poise of spirit that you can look to God to help you, and you hear the still small voice, or you come to know God as the word has said here. Be still and know that I am God. Well, how did my getting still make me know that He's God? Why, the answer to prayer was so wonderful. He really worked a miracle. And while I knew that He was God, and yet again there was a witness. Again, here was a God answering prayer in such a way that I knew in a new way that He's God. And, you know, for a year and a half, a long time ago, I had to live with someone that was always throwing the home into confusion and disharmony, or at least they brought a measure of it into the home. It just seemed like this party could stir up the very dregs of our souls. And then, you know, it was at a time like that God really taught this lesson, just to keep quiet, and he would handle that whole situation. And the only hope for that situation was from being disturbed and hurt, but to get along with God and let him put his hush upon us, just like he had commanded, be still. And you know, it's only when Jesus spoke that the winds became still, and the same sweet voice that commanded stormy Gennesaret to be still, to put a holy hush on our souls when this happened in our home. Now, so many people have got the idea that stillness is a sort of controlled tension, a practiced poise, and that you can compress anxiety in some way. Well, if you do, sometimes you're just inwardly a boiling cauldron, though you're seemingly calm on the surface. But that isn't the kind of stillness we're talking about. The stillness of God isn't passivity, but it brings about the greatest clarity of thought and intensity of your desire Godward. And it's in that stillness that you come to know God's will and his plan for your life. I know from experience, as I've told you, the divine stillness often comes through trials and testing. So you say, how can that be? Oh, yes, it subdues the soul. The suffering humbles the spirit. Are you going through a testing right now? Well, dearly beloved, you just get quiet and be still before the Lord, and he'll tell you why. And sometimes I know there are times when he doesn't tell why, but as a rule, he'll tell you why. And he'll show you how to get all the sweetness out of it and how to look to him in such a way that he'll teach you wonderful lessons from it. But you've got to get quiet. There has to be that sweet, still devotion. And then he can speak to your heart. Now, I don't know who wrote this, but I found it in streams in the desert. Not in the tumult of the rending storm, not in the earthquake or devouring flame, but in the hush that could all fear transform, the still small whisper to the prophet came. O soul, keep silence on the mount of God, though cares and needs throb around thee like a sea. From supplication and desires unshod, be still and hear what God shall say to thee. Dr. Partington gave wonderful advice when he said this in one of his talks. What shall the believer do in times of darkness? Just sit still and listen. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. And as he just sits still, as the scripture says, sit still and listen. Now, the first thing to do, he said, is do nothing. That is, stand still. That's hard for human nature to do. Out here in the West, there's a saying, when you're rattled, don't rush. In other words, when you don't know what to do, just don't do it. I know many times in life I've run into sort of a spiritual fog. And I've wanted to do something so badly in my own strength. I just felt like I had to unsnarl the tangled wires, or I had to somehow find an answer to the situation, but do something. And the human energy just felt like it had to rush out and try to solve the problem myself or work it out in some way. But if necessary, dearly beloved, maybe sometimes that human energy may help, but oh, more often than any other time, is just anchor your bark and let it swing its moorings for a while and simply trust God. Wait upon him and see what God will do. And then as we're quiet and are really trusting, God can work. Worry prevents him from doing anything. If our minds are distracted and our hearts are stressed and the darkness of shadow strikes terror to us, or we run here and there in a vain effort to find some way of escape out of a dark place of trial, where the Lord doubtless allowed us to get, he can't do anything for us. All the peace of God must quiet minds and rest hearts. Put our hand in the hand of God like a little child and let him lead us out in the bright sunshine of his love. To you in the hospital, at home, beds of sickness, the troubled businessman riding there in his car, God help you to trust him. Be still. Let him do the work for you. Perfect faith will bring the victory. Put your hand in God's hands. God will work it out. Amen.